DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered Saint Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. Pope John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. What's on your heart today?
The marvelous story of God presenting all of mankind with the image of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, being a wedding banquet for his son. That God wants all of us to be with him in heaven. And the story today, who's ever going to Mass, who's ever going to be going to worship today, who's ever a Christian. It's a Jewish feast, isn't it? Also, it's a Jewish holiday. So Christians or Jews, today is God's invitation, first to the Jews and then to us Gentiles, a wedding feast for his son. And the account is given in Matthew's Gospel, and I'd like to begin reading from the Gospel of Matthew in the 22nd chapter. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fatted calf are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, both good and bad alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet his guests, he saw a man there who had not been dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" And this is the gospel of the Lord. You see, the wedding feast for the Son is given to all of humankind. When we begin the Bible, the first verses tell us that all of mankind was banished from heaven. God had a plan, and he was going to save the whole world. And in his plan, now he's talking to the chief priests and the elders, in his plan, he was going to send his son. Jesus is that son. And the wedding is going to be between God and humankind. The wedding feast for the son is when Jesus is going to be offered. What is that fattened calf that's ready? What is the food that is going to be served? What is the wine that is going to be drunk? We all, if you have an awareness of what the New Testament is, this is really what it is. Now, these who are invited first, these are the chief priests and the elders. And God is saying to them, you have been invited. This wedding feast is here. But notice from the first book of the Bible, then Abraham is there. God has chosen this family, the Jews. They were the first guests to be invited. And then Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons, and the 12 sons had 12 tribes, and this is the people. He saved them from bondage in Egypt. He brought them and brought them into their country, which he gave them and had promised to Abraham and his children and his posterity. And that's the land that we call the Holy Land. And that's where he settled them. These are the ones now that he's talking to. What did they do with the people who continued to come and invite and invite? Many times with the prophets of Jeremiah, Zechariah, they killed, and they finally are going to kill the prophet who comes along. John the Baptist gets killed, and then they're going to kill the son. That's the story. Each of us who is a Christian realizes, you know, one of the couplets that was written by, I believe, Chesterton, how odd of God to choose the Jews. They were the first ones invited. They are our ancestors in the faith. We're all spiritual Semites. Now we have been invited. And this same invitation, so many of us are so unaware of the magnanimity, the love of God, who wants to save us all. Where is the wedding hall? It's everywhere. It's where you are. You and your soul and your being, wherever you are, God has invited you. You might be a Hindu, you might be a Sikh, you might be a Muslim, whoever you are, God has invited you. All of mankind is invited to salvation, and especially those of you who are called to be Christian today, as you make your way to Mass, as you make your way to worship. Jesus is there. This is the wedding feast given to the Lamb. Where is the wedding hall? It's everywhere. Everyone is invited. He wants the banquet hall filled. What is the wedding garment that you have to have? It's your virtue. The clothing, when you think of a banquet, you know what you think of? Ties and tails and the kind of dresses you have and gowns and the magnificent dress you would have to go, especially to a wedding, to dress up. What is the vesture? What is the clothing that he was looking for in the guests? Virtue, disposition, values, attitudes, faith, trust. The clothing that we have, that we see displayed on the person who is invited in. What is it not to have a wedding garment? Negativity, disbelief, anger, violence, vices. You see, here in the banquet hall, it's the virtues and the vices that are clothing us. It's the hope and the trust and the love which we have. This is our clothing. This is our vesture. What is it in you? What are you living and giving as you enter into this banquet hall. There's a magnificent, Paul, in a beautiful way, shows us how the one who is inviting us is looking at us with love. Every single person who is invited on this particular day to come to the feast, what is the dress that we're going to wear? And Paul writes this, "Brothers and sisters, I know how to live in humble circumstances. I also know how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me." What a garment Paul has. And he goes on to say, "Still, it was kind of you to share in my distress. My God will fully supply whatever you need in accordance with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." This banquet hall is the place where God is supplying through Christ Jesus every abundance, every need, whatever you need. All that you have to do as you are clothed in trust. When you come into this hall, when you are clothed with these virtues, God supplies everything. You can be in the same hall, and there are those in this hall who are there. And what is the difference between being outside and inside that hall? What is it that this master has done when he finds this one without the wedding garment? That person without the wedding garment has brought upon himself his own misery, his own unhappiness. I know a priest. He's got two cars. He's got all kinds of things that, you know, talk about wealth, talk about riches, talk about even a long life and health. He's got all those things. And he is wretchedly miserable, so unhappy. How many times we bring this misery on ourselves just to be around him is to see agitation, anger, short-tempered. Nothing is satisfying. And so Paul, on the other hand, whatever he sees that he, whatever that is, God is supplying it. What is the virtue that Paul has and is saying here, whether he's in need or in abundance, whether he's hungry or whether he has plenty to eat? It's trusting. Paul's peace and happiness, the interior happiness, that's what heaven is. What is the key to entering into the banquet hall? What is the key to being clothed in the disposition and the garment of the wedding feast? Trust. It brings freedom. It brings peace. It brings all the fruits of the Spirit. If you are in a nursing home, right there, this is the awareness, because everyone's invited to the banquet. If you are in a family, if you are at the university and you're beginning school, if you're in school or a young child, wherever you may be, all of us are invited into the banquet, priests and people and all kinds of everyone, whoever you may be. Our Father God has opened the gates of heaven to everyone. Everyone is going to be supplied by Him, because He is putting on a wedding banquet for His Son. So much does He love you.
We'll return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essiff in just a moment. This is Chris McGregor of DiscerningHearts.com with a very special announcement. Join Father Timothy Gallagher for a first-time online seminar entitled Guidance for a Greater Discernment of Spirits. Never before has Father Gallagher offered this teaching online or on television or radio. This seminar will cover the 8 rules of greater discernment of spirits as taught by St. Ignatius of Loyola and can be found in Father Gallagher's best-selling book, Spiritual Consolation, an Ignatian Guide for Greater Discernment. The sessions will be conducted on 2 consecutive Saturdays, October 31st and November 7th, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Central Time. Each day will be consisting of 4 session talks, followed each time with a question and answer session with Father Timothy Gallagher. And don't worry if you can't make the Saturday event. Registrants will still have access to the exclusive archived videos of the seminar. Registrants will also receive exclusive downloadable handouts. The registration for this 2-Saturday online seminar is only $30. Register now at discerninghearts.com. A prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
We now return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Issif.
Jesus is being offered by God the Father. Behold the Lamb of God. His Lamb is going to be slaughtered. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are we who are called to this banquet. This is the banquet that we're going to. He is the banquet. He is the clothing. We can be clothed in the grace and the virtue of the Son of God. Sad to say, even when you look around, when you see that this key is given to all of us to go into this banquet hall, the invitation is there, bad and good. You don't have to be good to even come in. You can be invited in by God. The scriptures say it. Are you in prison? Or where might you be today? You are invited by God. Because that's who the Father is and is having a wedding banquet for his Son. You can be clothed in a wedding garment because the Father wants all to come into the banquet. I suppose the last words is kind of more what's really the case, because I really think this is also true. Many are called, he says. Many are invited, but few are chosen. How many people do you know who are really, really happy? You know, when Paul says, I can be in any circumstance, whatever it might be. So you might be in a circumstance today where one of your best friends died. And maybe that's what's going on. Can you be happy in the middle of this suffering? To be able to have that gift of trust. Can you be happy in the middle of losing a job? Many are called. This is the time. Everyone is invited. What is it that you really need? What's the key? Trust. To have complete trust that whatever is the circumstance of my life in this passing world, I trust because God supplies everything. My banquet is open, and I'm inviting everyone in, and I'm having this banquet, and it's a wedding banquet. So much do I love you, I want to be wed to you. I want you to be my children. I want you to be as close to me as my own son. And therefore, I'm sending him to you. He is going to be the one through whom each of you is going to be united to me. I am your father. I chose first the Jews, and then I chose the nations. And I give this invitation to all, to everyone. I have given this special invitation to you who are already united with my son through baptism. And through you, I hope to reach each and every soul, because I love you and I want you to be my children. The heart of the Father wants to make all his children happy. And many times, because we choose not to, we bring on ourselves the misery of hell. Without him, it's hell. The wailing and the grinding of teeth. If we fail to choose God, we fail to choose happiness. The kingdom of heaven is open to all, the good and the bad. The choice is in our hands.
Monsignor, we have just a sad mix-up, don't we, about what virtue truly is. I mean, we live in a time where pride, that is a better state to be in than to be humble. It's difficult, isn't it? Because we just haven't had that type of, can I say, training in the virtues as we maybe should have?
One of the virtues that is most important in the creature is gratitude. For a person to worship God and to have a proper relationship with God, if you miss this, it's the very first one. Because I realize that I am not one who keeps myself alive. There's no one who's listening to me, Chris, who is responsible for his own being. God made you, God sustains you, and God is your creator. Now, not only is he one who creates you, but this story this morning and that you're hearing on this beautiful 28th Sunday of Ordinary Time, this story is, I am your father, and I want a relationship with you as close as I have with my son. And my son is the banquet, and you are invited into it. Every one of you can enter, and he is as close to you as you are to yourself, because I'm that close to you. You may not even recognize me because of the noise and the fog that you've been undergoing for 27 or 40 years or whatever, but I am your father. I made you, and I love you, and you are mine. And I made you to live with me forever. And I created you, and I redeemed you, and this is the banquet that you can have. You can have joy every day of your life, because it's my desire to pour my blessings upon you each and every moment of your life. I am so close to you. I am within you. I am around you.
Final thought, Monsignor?
The love of this Father is so powerful in today's gospel. So often, I think we hear the words that are given to us, but in the context, it's a beautiful Jewish context, just like a wedding banquet. You know, just when you go to like a, if you go to a Jewish wedding, if you go to a wedding, you know, God is so in love. And it's a wedding for his son. And that's who he is. And that's the intimacy that he wants with each one of us. So what a great invitation today to be loved by God into a new creation today. To be loved by God and to be clothed with the virtue of trust so that you have a key to enter into the happiness and the joy of God. There were two boys, there were twins, and one was totally, totally negative about everything, and were really so, extremely so, and the other was so totally positive about everything. And they were so extremely opposite that their parents thought, there must be some reason for this. And so they called the psychiatrist and said, what is giving these two such different outlooks? And so the psychiatrist took the first one and he put him in a room with toys, wagons, bicycles, scooters, all kind of games and toys. And he locked the door and put him in there, and he was going to let him there for an hour. They took the one who was always so positive and upbeat about everything and so joyful. They put him in a room filled with horse manure, and they locked the door, and they put each in there for an hour. They came to the first one, and they opened the door, and he was sitting in the floor, hadn't touched one toy, and he was crying and saying, that wagon, I wanted an orange one, and it's a red one. I wanted a bicycle, but it's not that kind of bicycle that I wanted. I was afraid to play the games. I thought I was going to break them, and he was weeping and weeping. And not one thing was touched, and he was so miserable. They opened the door of the second one, and there he was whistling away and had a shovel in his hand. And they said, what are you so happy about? He said, with all this horse manure here, there's going to be a pony someplace. How we have an outlook. God has designed us to fill us with good things. That hope is what really makes everything different. You can have so much and be so miserable. And you can have whatever that is that's hope in what God has designed you for. You were designed for God and his abundance. And your trust brings you great joy and great happiness. God bless.
Perfect, Monsignor. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this program or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.